What's up, everyone? I am back. It is, man, I was about to say it was Tea Time with Robin, but it's not that. This is not your average podcast in the 716. I am your girl, T. I do these solos by myself during the off season, but I got a special guest. I've wanted him on my show for a long time, and I'm just going to let him just do his thing.
Oh, yeah, man. What's going on, everybody? My name is Justice General. I am JA17 MVP on Twitter. And yeah, man, I'm creative director over at Buffalo Fanbase, the originators of Bills Mafia. T is one of my good friends in this industry. And I was appreciative of the invite. I do anything she needs, I got her, so I'm here.
Appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. I've been following you. You're also over at WFU or something like that?
Oh, WUFO. Yep.
Yeah, the radio station, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did that work about? I know this is not on the docket or whatever, but
absolutely. First of all, Mookie is just, the best in the world. Mookie is one of the best, beat reporters in the entire country. And really is extremely underrated. But he's an even better guy.
Right.
After everything happened with, my previous situation, he contacted me and was just like, look, I got this network. I want you to help me run, so we started up the network. And then eventually he was just like, hey, come to the radio station, I was like, oh, why? What's going on? I'm thinking I'm going up there, record them, da 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 da. I was like,
right.
Grab a mic, and so he gave me that opportunity as well. And he gave me so many opportunities. I ain't gonna lie. Mookie, look out. Yeah. So
I know you were interviewing, Ted Washington, right? Was it Ted Washington?
Ted Washington. Dope. We did a couple guys, actually. Sean Merriman. Manny Lawson. We had Manny Lawson. We've had a couple guys, obviously the great Reuben Brown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Cool. That's what's up. All right. I love it. I'll be keeping my eye on you and see what you're doing.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. But it's off season, and I wanted to get your thoughts on where we're at, where the Buffalo Bills are at, how the season ended. Are we still chasing the freaking Kansas City Chiefs, just like everyone else? Just not just the Buffalo Bills, but everyone else. But now that the season is over, what is your takes on the season?
So my take on the season is, if you look at the Chiefs and you say the Kansas City Chiefs plus Patrick Mahomes is probably but they keep winning the Super Bowl. So we have no choice but to say they're the best team in the league, right?
Right.
Almost undisputedly now. I mean, 3 Super Bowls in 5 years is nuts. So
crazy.
That is the team. That is the standard. That is the top of the mountain. This stretch, as far as 5 years, the greatest dynasty we've seen in the sport, right? That team, every time they play us, either loses,
yeah,
or they need overtime to beat us, right? Yeah. So if I look at our season objectively and I say the only team that could beat us even by luck is the best team of the last of the century, right? In NFL history.
Yeah, right.
Right? So if I look at it from that lens, I say, I'm not worried about it. We've got a quarterback that has 40 combined touchdowns over the last 4 seasons. Nobody in the NFL ever has done that. Think about that, T. Right? You got Brady and Manning. Hell, you got Mahomes and Rodgers. None of them have ever thrown or rushed for 40 touchdowns 4 seasons straight.
Let me ask you this. Okay, you say that, and then in the playoffs, altogether, it's 52. So then you have other guys. You have Edelman going on podcasts and saying, well, I don't know if he can get over the hump, when it becomes like these important times.
Edelman said this about Josh Allen?
Yeah, he turns the ball over. And I'm just like, And you know they're guys, right? They're football guys. But I'm like, are you that not in touch with the league that you think that Josh Allen is a turnover machine in the playoffs? Come on, bro. He sat down with Shady McCoy. And I was just like, this is insane. This is insane. Like, he's getting this narrative around him, and it just drives me crazy about Josh Allen. Because everybody's like, oh, they're interceptions and stuff, but he tightens it up in the playoffs. Yeah. And I asked this question to Robin. I said, do you think it hurts him because he's not really involved when it comes to, like, going to shows and going to the honors and doing all this Pro Bowl stuff? Like, you think he's being disrespected?
Do I think Josh means this is being disrespected? Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you, T. I really don't think it's a ton of people that actually, like, watch football and, like, mm-hmm. understand what's going on. And I think that the ones that do don't watch all of it objectively. Therefore, they're giving a skewed narrative to the viewing public, right?
Gotcha.
Joshua Patrick Allen, first of all, right? You talk about his turnovers. The turnovers are horrendous, okay? He's terrible, mm-hmm. right? He's bad. He's bad. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's so bad, T. He's so bad that his margin of touchdowns to turnovers was the second highest in the NFL this season.
Oh, my God.
Only the Dak. Dak is the only one who had a bigger margin of touchdowns to turnovers this season.
But it just seems like he doesn't care. It's like Josh, like, I don't care.
But why should he? But hold on. But think about what I said. Like,
yeah.
Of all the turnovers you had this season, and we want to complain about all of it, he still had the second highest margin of scoring two turns. That is nuts. So you can talk about all the turnovers.
Right.
He still scores prolifically, right? He has more touchdowns than anybody in the NFL since he's came into the league. He has a higher margin of touchdowns to turnover than anybody since he's came into the league. And the only team that's won more than the Buffalo Bills since he's came into the league is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. And on top of that, we can honestly say maybe two games, maybe two. The first game was the Jets that cost to us a game. Mm-hmm. Josh turned the ball over so much on that game that I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was the moment was too big for him. And I don't really think it was that. I think it was all of it. So when people talk about that, it's just like, it pisses me off because I'm like, yeah, you're not, I don't expect for you to know the Buffalo Bills like us as fans know it, because how we watch it and how we, you know, as content creators, we speak about it. But I do want to ask you this about Josh in this offseason. What do you see? What do you want to hear and see he's doing this offseason?
Oh, man. See, now, a part of my brain, you know, when I think about it, when I saw Pat roll out and throw the ball to dude and they win his Super Bowl because Kyle Shanahan just keeps choking. Him blaming his defensive coordinator is insane and fire.
Yo, can he come to? I was like,
bro, like, give us Wilkes.
Sean, get on the phone, Sean. Right.
But when I saw that, when Kyle Shanahan blew yet another Super Bowl, and the Kansas City Chiefs reaped the benefits of that, I thought in my head, I was like, I want Josh to be pissed as I am, right?
Yeah,
I want him to be in the lab 24/7, right? That's what I was thinking of me, initially. And then I thought about it, and I was like, last year he played golf. This year he was the best quarterback in the league. You could say Lamar was. I like Lamar. Lamar wasn't the best. He wasn't the MVP.
I already talked about it. No, he's not. Sorry.
If our season is sequenced differently and we're not in the weirdest situation ever in NFL history where you could either be out of the playoffs or the two seed, Josh Allen is a runaway MVP.
And they couldn't give it to him. They couldn't give it to him because of the way we started.
Yeah.
They were 6-6.
And not only that, but the narrative. The narrative was completely against Josh. And that's kind of my point about Josh is people don't watch the Bills play. That's why anytime you hear people talk about the Bills, they're like, well, Josh Allen's a great quarterback, but he turns the ball over and that could be the other team's a bit. They don't talk about our top three defense. They don't talk about Stephon Diggs and you know, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook was the top three in all-purpose. Oh. They don't talk about none of that. They talk about Josh and his turnovers because they don't watch the games. They don't actually see what's happening. Because if you did watch the games and see what's happening, you would know that Josh was only responsible for one, maybe two losses.
Yeah, that's fact.
As far as I'm concerned, Ken Dorsey sabotaged our season, or at least tried his best.
He tried his damnedest, didn't he?
He did.
He tried his damnedest.
And nobody takes that into accountability, or nobody takes that into account, rather.
Definitely frustrating. The first 7 games of this season was I was a frustrated fan. I mean, coming out the gate, though, that first game, we just – I don't know if – I felt like it's going to be one of those seasons. But I didn't think it was going to be a season where we weren't going to use – they weren't going to use their offensive players. Like, Ken Dorsey, I thought, was going to take – like, we were kind of excited for Ken Dorsey to step up, right? And then when things was just like, okay, he's not – like, why are these guys all in the same – like, why ain't nobody running routes the way they, you know, need to technically? But Stephon Diggs was still showing up. Like, okay, what happened to Cook? Because we thought Cook was going to take a step in this offense of Ken Dorsey. That kind of never happened. And then the rookie, which we knew, we didn't know about the rookie. We knew what he can flash, right? We knew what he could see. We seen him in college. But then the tail end of that, just imagine if we would have had Joe Brady with Kincaid in the beginning of the season.
Or Cook from the jump.
Right. Oh my God. He would have had more yards. Oh my God.
He would have had the rushing title, or at least if not the rushing title, the all purpose yards title. Because you think about it, he ended up top five and really only had like a half a season's worth of production because the beginning of the season, he really wasn't in the game plan all like that. And not only that, but he dropped like 4 touchdowns that were all huge. So James Cook, first of all, could have had an even more insane year than he did. And that kind of gives you a glimpse at what his potential is going forward, because he's one of the best backs in the league. And that's undisputable. You can't say otherwise.
Yeah.
He can do it all.
You know what, though? And the drops seem like it was the same drops. It was the same pass. Yeah. It was the same play call. But speaking of changing up and being other players being involved, what does retooling, if a retooling is going to happen in this Buffalo Bills organization, what does that look like to you?
So what it looks like to me is the Bills. First of all, Brandon Bean's a magician. He's a genius because he was able to recognize one thing. He's like, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, up to this point, right? Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Matt Milano.
Right.
Teron Johnson, right? Those are my 7 guys that no matter what, I throw Deion in there as well, Deion Dawkins.
Those are
my 8 guys, no matter what. This is the core. Mm-hmm. Everything else is interchangeable. We could swap this out. Now, Josh, Steph, Deion, Matt Milano, I feel like are the only 4 that I would comfortably say. Oh, and Teron Johnson. Greg Russo and Ed Oliver as well now.
Yeah, okay, 7.
Yeah, so we back to 7.
Right.
Where it's like, this is my new core no matter what, right? But
You could also put the rookie in there. Osiris.
Torrance. I like Torrance.
I love me some Torrance.
I like where your head at. so even better, because now you got upwards of 10 people who is like, this is my core. So you got almost an entire side of the field where it's like, these are my blue chip players. The rest we can just kind of put in and out. And that's how you get such great depth that the Bills have, where it's like, we can have a platoon rotation at defensive end because we got Von Miller and AJ Epenesa and Gregory Russo and Shaq Lawson and with the defensive tackles, Ed Oliver and Tim Settle and Daquan Jones and
so you Phillip, think they bring Settle back?
Well, no. My point is that they are always able to get
because they're
able to keep their core and kind of interchange everything. And their scouting team, Brandon Bean's scouting team, is amazing. They're able to see great talent in later round picks. And they don't always do great with like the first couple round picks.
What is it, the third and the fourth?
No, but like the first and the second, they're not always like amazing. Like, you know, Boogie Basham.
You know, that's right. Yes.
Greg Rousseau didn't look amazing at first.
Finally turning around.
Kyir Elam ain't even really getting no plan. So we'll see about
that. But I think he will now because Butler is gone.
I actually think he'll be a really good corner. But as of right now, you objectively looking at it, you have to say that's not a good pick. Right. Especially when you consider Trent McDuffie of Kansas City Chiefs is just an all pro.
On the back end of that, you can say he hit on Benford.
Right. And that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. You know, on the back end of the draft, mid to like late in the, they always find dogs, right?
Yeah, they
got a Benford and Matt Milano, right? You finding guys.
Hell, you got
Dane Jackson.
Terrell Bernard.
What a way. He came out of nowhere.
Justice. You remember the offseason when they kept saying we might have our linebacker on the team. And me and Mike are saying, yo, you lying to us. Because I know you got Bell Inspector's not there. I know you're not talking about Bernard.
Williams.
I said he's a rookie, so I don't know if they're gonna give him the mic. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not understanding. I said, good thing, because I'm not a GM. I don't know what they're talking about, but who knew?
Who could have known? Well, that goes back to the scouting department. You know, Brandon Bean's scouting department is absolutely amazing. And so that's what gives me confidence each and every year, is because I have the most prolific score that's ever entered the NFL, relative to the time he's been in the NFL, obviously. Right. You have one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. You still have a ton of tools to use, right? Because now you look at James Cook, he's going to be one of the best weapons in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Dalton Kincaid automatically next year is a top 10 tight end, if not top five, right?
Yeah.
And then you're definitely going to draft a wide receiver.
Right.
We'll see where everything with Gabe Davis and
he can go. No disrespect to Gabe.
I like Gabe and I like his potential.
I don't know if they're using him well, though, in his offense. No.
They're using him well. It's not clicking. Like, he has the talent, he has the intangibles, the physicality, the size, the strength, the mentality. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's a great route runner, very teachable, very coachable, great leader. But the synapses are not clicking. You know what I mean? They're not clicking. Him and Josh are not on the same page.
Especially this year, they weren't.
Yeah, they've lost his two games because he ran the wrong route or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
Right. Or they lost the one game to Philly and then he threw the interception in Miami because him and Gabe weren't on the same page.
Right.
And you looking at Gabe, he's looking at, if he would have had a good season this year, he was looking at making $15, $17 million a year.
Yeah.
I ain't paying him 15. No,
but not even that. You know, Brandon Bean, and I'm using the word loosely, allows their players to go test the free agency because if you think you can get more, hey, go get more. And that's what Gabe's going to do. He wants to stay, whatever. But you know what? You're going to test the waters. I just don't want to see him go out there and ball out what one of our
I'm not going to lie. He probably will.
He probably
will. It really depends on what his dollar sign looks like. Because if you could get Gabe Davis at $7 million a year, that's a steal. And he's
going to be
a great wide receiver for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, but if you say, oh, last season in Buffalo was a fluke, you know what I mean? I'm still going to give him the $20 million a year and expect him to be your number one.
No.
You'll get a very, very inconsistent wide receiver.
Yeah. I think that whole Kansas City game, that playoff game, made expectations for Gabe really high.
It did.
And we also, too, had
training camp.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we had what was his name? Oh, my God.
Who are you talking about? Sanders. You talking about Isaiah Hodges?
Oh. No, we had Sanders. And then I think Sanders, you know, he left. Gabe supposedly stepped up. And I think it wasn't there. Like, it wasn't there. Expectations for Gabe was major high. I know for me, it was major high for him. And speaking about, you know, the draft and guys and GMs, you're going to be a GM. I want you to be a GM. You have the first pick. You're the GM. You're the Bills GM. Take it in. You have the chance to pick the Bills' first pick. Who are you picking? And what position are you picking?
So it's 100%.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Just ain't gonna be a wide receiver.
Gotcha.
Just because the last couple of years, right? You start off, you have Cole Beasley and John Brown. Serviceable. Love Cole Beasley. Love John Brown. They did a lot for organization. I appreciate him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna win no championship. Right. And then you get Stephon Diggs. You pair him with John Brown and Cole Beasley. That's cool. Ain't gonna win no championship. Emmanuel Sanders, great. Ain't gonna win no championship. Then Gabe Davis, we thought he could be right. Good. Ain't going to no championship. So what do? You get a guy coming out the draft because you look at the wide receivers, the rookie wide receivers the last couple of years, they've been going crazy. Justin Jefferson, absolute dog. Puka Nacua, absolute dog.
The Jackson guy from the Rams.
Puka Nacua, yep.
Ravens, my bad.
Oh, what's Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison. God. All of them balled out except Quentin Johnston in Los Angeles, but the Chargers sucked all around. So I don't know. all of them balled out. Even Don Kincaid balled out, right? Mm-hmm. Oh God, Sam Laporta.
I was about to say the dude from Detroit. Yeah.
All of them ball out, right? You could go back, right? Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle. All these dudes are coming into the league going crazy. Jameson Williams injured. Yep. Dan gambled. And Dan went crazy after all that, right?
Right.
So for us, I'm looking at a couple guys. I did my draft homework early this year, T, because
okay,
I had nothing else to do. You know, our team was out after, the second round of playoffs. So.
Right.
So for me, it's a couple guys. I think we, picked 23, 24, something like that.
We are, as right now, I think 28,
oh,
I think.
God, even worse. Okay, 28. 28. Wow.
But we, yeah. I think. If Freak. Not, okay.
Yeah, no, you might be right. All right. So 28, Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. Okay. Now, my fear is that there's this kid, 6 feet, 200 pounds out of LSU named Malik Nabers.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's talking about him.
Knock on wood. He might be better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, really? Career-wise, he might actually have a better career than Marvin Harrison Jr., depending on where Marvin Harrison Jr. goes, because I think, systems and tandems can make careers and whatnot.
Okay.
I like Malik Nabers. If not Malik Nabers, then I'm looking at, a lot of guys who are really – this is a really tall draft class. As soon as you get past – Malik Nabers, everybody else is like 6'3", 6'4", you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so, what about Brian Thomas Jr.?
Brian Thomas Jr., he is 6'4", 205.
I like him.
I like him too. He great contested catches.
Yeah.
He's long and he's fast. He tracks the ball really, really well in air.
Great hands.
Which it helps us because you take a look at like Trent Sherfield. Mm-hmm. If a couple of his, passes this year, attempts this year, go to somebody else, they probably catch them, and it creates a completely different season, right? The way it looks.
Right.
Brian Thomas is going to catch the ball down. He's going to high point the ball. He's tall, like I say, 6'4", and he's a speed demon.
Yes.
And like I say, tracks the ball well. And he's scramble drill friendly. So, when Josh rolls out the pocket.
Right.
And, so another guy I like is Rome Odunze.
I heard about him as well. Rome is
really good. Troy Franklin out of Oregon, 6'3", 187. I promise you, when he gets to the combine, if he's not injured, he's going to run a sub 4.3.
Okay.
Just watching his tape on like film, he leaves people in the dust the way Tyreek Hill do. It's insane. So I like him. I also like Keon Coleman. It's a lot of good wide receivers.
But yeah, they said it's a lot. So we should I mean, Brandon Bean has to be aggressive when it comes to wide receivers in this draft alone. And I think he understands it, and Sean understands it too, because they talked about it towards the end of the season and their pressers that they needed more explosive plays. Mm-hmm. So as a fan, you're hearing, okay, you need a wide receiver. That's all I heard. You need a wide receiver.
Yeah, and to your point, because that's a great point. You look at it, last year, they almost was shit out of luck, right? Because a run happened where it was like, oh, Jackson Smith and Jigba came off the board. Then Jordan Addison came off the board. Then Quentin Johnson came off the board, and the Bills was like, oh, shoot. All of our targets just came off the board in a row. We got to go up, and we got to get Kincaid. Yep. So it ended up working out for us.
If they didn't get Kincaid, Dallas was going to get Kincaid.
It was going to get Kincaid. And it ended up working out for us, thank goodness. But, you know, they wanted one of those wide receivers initially.
Yeah, they did. They did. I mean, I'm glad that it is a heavy wide receiver, also a heavy safety, and also I think it's a heavy wide O-line, which we don't really need O-line that much. I mean, we can get some boys. I'm about to say we can get some boys back there and on the back end of it. But, yeah, I guess for me too, wide receiver, I want a safety, but I also want a safety in the free agency. Although I know they don't have the money, but if you can,
Brandon Bean work magic, man.
I'm about to say if you can do your magic like we know he can do. He's already said that he's not going to do too many splash plays, players, right? And we understand it, we get it. But we also, if you're going to let go of the safety tandem back there, duo back there, and I believe bringing one back, and I know Micah Hyde is probably gone. And if you could bring Porter back, because he has one more deal, right? He has one more year on his deal.
Jordan Poyer. I don't think both their deals is up. And if not, then one of them only got one more year. It might be Micah Hyde, because he did have the most recent contract.
Okay.
He thought he was gone.
Right.
Ended up re-signing.
Yeah. I mean, he's just Micah Hyde's gone. I mean, his wife just put out that goodbye speech or whatever. And then
they had him run out the tunnel and cry and all that. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he's done. He's a done. But yeah, I can't wait. This draft is going to be exciting, more exciting than it was last year. Mm-hmm. The fact that we got freaking Osiris Torrance and he just balled out for us. I was just like, wow. Like, that was a hit. The man played every snap and only allowed maybe two or three pressures, which was great. You know, so, and you're talking about a rookie wall. He didn't even hit a rookie wall, you know? So, speaking of all of that, what does a successful season, and I know it's way too early, but what does that look like for you as a fan?
All right. I'm so sorry, T. You mentioned safeties. I'm not a huge, huge fan of like any of the early safeties, like Cameron Kitchens and Tyler Nubis and stuff. Not a huge, huge fan. However, I do think that they could, you know, serve a purpose in our system, right? Because we do have Taylor Rapp, who's coming back. Didn't look great all season, but toward the back end of the season, he started to get better a lot, like AJ Klein a couple of years ago, right? You got Christian Benford, who I actually predicted as soon as we drafted him. I was like, this guy, not only is he going to make the team, he's going to be a starter. I said he's going to be
He can play both positions?
They thought early in his rookie season, they said that they were thinking about, trying him out at safety, switching him
over.
So now if you're losing one of your legendary safeties, why not, you know, kind of groom
a guy? And he's a hitter, so yeah.
And he's a hitter, tackle. Groom a guy, right?
Yeah.
So now you got, a Christian Benford, potentially a Taylor Rapp.
Right.
And then you know they love the Dean Marlos and Ray O'Neal type of guys, right? I'm not going to lie, Cameron Kitchens kind of fits that bill, right? He's a hard hitter. He's got good speed. He's got good field awareness. He's good in run support. He breaks on the ball in coverage, and he likes to hit people, right? So that's kind of what you want to see, like a Derwin James type of guy.
Right.
I really like Tyler Newbin. A little bit bigger, 6'2", 210. Hard hitter. He got quick feet, good ball skills. He's good in man coverage. He's a good tackler in the open field, which is a weakness of the Buffalo Bills. They're not good one-on-one tacklers in the open field. The Bills' defense will shut everything down if they never miss a tackle. But they miss tackles and they allow big gains because now there's gaps open because what you were responsible for, you have now opened up your missed tackle. He could play a thick diamond nickel You know, it's kind of like that role that you would like to see a Taylor Rapp or like mm-hmm. a Taron Johnson play in, where it's not quite a linebacker, but, you know, it kind of plays like a linebacker, right?
Okay.
Kalen Bullock out of USC, he's even bigger, 6'3", 190. Hit, boy, hit! That boy hits!
Okay.
It boys is all over the field getting smacked. He's a ball hawker. He reads the QB's eyes. He's a great robber at safety, I like to say. And then my favorite at safety, he's like a probably day two, day three pick. Sione Vaki out of Utah. He only 6 feet, only 208. He plays running back and safety.
What?
He had 50 tackles, 2 sacks, and an INT. 42 carries, 317 yards, 2 TDs, 11 catches, 203. Great concentration, great open field tackle, strong for his size. Shez blocks really well, good field awareness and vision. Obviously, you have to have mm-hmm. that if you're playing running back. Absolute weapon on okay. the field, defense and offense. See, wow. Rocky is really nice. So,
gotcha.
I'm sorry, that was long and convoluted, but to answer your question, what does a successful season look like, you said?
Yes.
So a successful season at this point is you gotta, like, you know, you can't have your kids coming to you and crying every night that the boogeyman is just in their closet and just won't leave them alone.
Right.
You know, that boy under the bed, he in the lampshades, he outside the window, he's everywhere. And he's torturing our children.
Yes. And his name is
you know, right. So you know, that's what that's really what I want to, is just to beat them in the playoffs. And I feel like ultimately you want to win the Super Bowl, but if you beat them in the playoffs, then that is a step up.
Right. Yeah, man. And you know what it is to me is this. In order for Josh to get from underneath, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to have to beat him in the important part of the season. And that season is the playoffs. Like, the whole talk was get him home, have him play at home, have him play at home. Well, it happened. And then that whole kick happened. And the crazy thing about it is that I watched the Green Bay game and I was like, that rookie Green Bay kicker, I was like, please just don't let that happen to the Buffalo Bills. I said, because Tyler Bass.
I made fun of them for that. But, oh, my God.
Tyler Bass hasn't had a great season. Like, the season was just like, what the hell? What's going on with Tyler?
Actually, he wasn't good last season either.
Yeah. So, I mean, they gave him the money and his leg just got limp. I don't know.
I don't know if he's injured or something, but it didn't seem right. Totally flipped.
No. He was guaranteed, like, we could go to the store, come back. Oh, he made it. Oh, okay, I knew it. Now it's just like, we got to sit here. We got to make sure. And then it was just, were you at that game? Because I know you do go to games. Did you go to that one?
No, I think my lucky stars wasn't there. It didn't even ponder in my mind that he could miss. And to me, I was thinking of, all right, we got to stop Pat. Like, they got to make 40. We got to stop Pat. Wide right. I was like, I didn't even, like, conceive that as a possible outcome. And then there's no way that they're stopping him and getting the ball back after that. Like, my defense is going to be
mortified. Just they stopped him. Like, Poirier had some big plays in that. That's why they got the ball back. So, I mean, the defense was kind of rallying a little bit because prior to that, Pat was just lazing. Like, our defense was our defense. I guess
that's right. That's how we got that possession to be able to either take the lead or go tie. That's true.
Yeah. Right. So, for me, this season – I want my guys to be healthy. And I know it's a long season. I understand that. But the last two seasons with the Buffalo Bills have been hell when it comes to injuries. And prior to the two seasons, prior before that, we were the most healthiest freaking team, organization. They got freaking awards for it. And all of a sudden now they can't stay healthy. Like, every level of our defense was injured. Insane. They had more money off the field than they had on.
Yeah, literally.
You know what I mean? So for me, I just want the guys to stay healthy as they can be. I want Vaughn.
And then Vaughn was basically off the field, except he was taking the spot of somebody who should have been on the field instead of him, while still having the money of about three or four people that was also on the field.
Yes. But I was happy they pulled the trigger and sat him because, you know, I can't be sat. I'm the star. And I'm happy they did it because maybe it shook him up and woke him up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's it in a nutshell for me. I just want this team to, I don't even know if it's a hump because they have beat the Chiefs. I don't think it's more of a Josh can't do it in the playoffs because he has done things in the playoffs. He has had against New England. He has a perfect game against New England. So it's not like he can't do it. No, Josh, and I don't think it's a mindset.
Josh's playoff, his playoff resume is indisputable.
It's crazy.
You can't blame the fact that the Bills don't have a Super Bowl, you cannot blame that on Josh Allen. You look at his stat line, you know, in the games where the Bills have played in the playoffs, and it was almost never his fault. I don't think it's ever been his fault of a loss so far.
That's true. I was going to ask you about the free agencies and how many you think that will come back, because I think it's 22.
Jesus.
I maybe want four back.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know off the top of my head who is going to become a free agent. There's a lot of guys who I'm just like, I'm good off. You know, Trent Sherfield, good off Trent Sherfield. You know, I like Dante Hardy, but if he left, I wouldn't be like, oh no, Dante Hardy's gone.
So here's
Ty Johnson. I like Ty Johnson.
We got Kyle Allen. We got Davis.
Allen can go.
Dotson. We got Floyd, AJ Epinesa, Puna Ford, Harris, Hyde, Jackson, Jones, Joseph, Lewis, Lawson. I can never say this man's name. Medakevich,
yeah.
Yeah. Murray, Phillips, Rapp, Settle, and Sherfield.
Golly, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of contributors, too.
Yeah. Epinesa, I want back.
Off the top of my head, I was about to say a lot of just those guys on defensive line. Epinesa, Daquan Jones, I would like back. Dotson, I would like back. Lawson, I would like, not Mark Lawson. Who's the defensive end who came in balling this year for us?
Leonard Floyd wants some money, so he might be gone.
Yeah,
he said he's going where the money's going. So
that's what he said.
Yeah, he might be gone.
Ooh, yeah, he gone.
Yeah,
we ain't got that money from his old ass. well, I appreciate sure what he did, but I ain't
for sure. Nobody trying to give him no money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Dotson might be gone too because Dotson balled out this year, so he might be gone.
If Dotson leave, I know something. If Dotson leave, because Dotson, bro, like come back. You finally got an opportunity,
right?
You
did well, but he loves Bobby Babbage and Sean McDermott, so he might just stay just for GP.
Yeah, because we need that depth, you know. And
thank
goodness, this is gonna sound bad, but no, not really. Thank goodness. Matt Milano got injured in the early part of the season, so you know he'll be healthy enough. You know,
That's for real. That's real talk. Like, what do you mean? I can't wait to see him in Bernard play together.
Yeah,
they're going to be crazy.
They was looking like all pros together.
Hell yeah! You know,
starting, yeah,
they definitely were. But that's all I got for you. I really appreciate you coming on the show and gracing me with your knowledge. And I love that. I love the fact that you know. Ball, like you know ball, and you don't hold it back, and I understand, and I love it. So tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, you know, just trying to retool, prepare for next season. And yeah, man, just I guess trying to get a break or whatever by not potting. I haven't potted in a while. It actually feels good. I miss it a little bit. But you know, just retooling for next season, you know, starting on our draft coverage and, you know, looking at tape on players and seeing who would be, you know, a good fit to help retool our team. And trying to be right, trying to make sense. You know what I mean?
Right. But again, thank you so much. You guys, you can find us. You can find us. I got Tea Time with Robin on Thursdays, every other Thursday. And then I have Not Your Average Podcast at 716 with Mike every other week.
Shout out to Mike and Robin.
Yeah, right. I feel you. We taking breaks too because it's a grind. And sometimes you get tired of talking and listening to your own voice. Yep. So, yeah, we are taking a break as well. But I'm still going to have people on the pod. So, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you, guys. This is Not Your Average Podcast in the 716. I am your host, T. And we are out, y'all. But as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Ooh.
All right. My girl came in.